Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word this morning. And Lord, I just thank you for the way that Chris led communion this morning and for just the words that you put upon his heart to share. Father, not only were they comforting and encouraging, but they were confirming for what you put upon my heart. And Lord, I pray as we continue to seek you, as we continue to press in to you, and Lord, as we continue to desire to see you move in people's lives, I pray that this word today would touch our hearts, would again reveal yourself to us. But more than that, Lord God, would lift the ceiling, as it were, in our level of faith, expectancy, desire, and hope. And that, Father, we would see you move. And Lord, you know my heart. My heart's desire is that people would not only walk in abundance and live and enjoy your blessing, but, Father, more so that people would believe you because of what they see. Lord, I think of that brother-in-law of Chris's, and Father, he has seen and had a touch of you upon his life. Lord God, I pray that that would now break down the barriers and the walls that he's allowed to be there that stopped him from accepting you as his personal Savior. So, Father, have your way even this morning, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I want to chat about healings and miracles, and I say chat because I don't want it to be a sermon, if that's possible. In fact, I tried not to even make it a teaching session, but it has turned out to be a little bit like that. But a chat because the area of healings and miracles, which I want to talk on, is such a broad area, and it's such an area that we have our own opinions on, that we have our own feelings on, that we've had our own experiences or lack of experiences on, that we have an incredible number of questions on. And there's been so many books written on it, so many people have talked about it, that it's an area that I don't think anyone has the definitive answer except God. And today I just want to share with you some of my thoughts. And some of the thoughts, or most of the thoughts, if not all of them, come from Scripture, which is a good start. But I also want it to be something that lifts our faith, because I know that God is encouraging us and continually pushing us as a church to believe for a breakthrough. And there has been prophecy over the 30 years that I've been here, that God is going to use this place in end days to see his power move in people's lives. And you know, I just have a dream and a vision, not for the glory of any man, but that the church road there would be jam-packed with cars, that people would be streaming down, that I've often pictured the ceiling tiles being lifted off and people lowering people down as they did in Bible times. In fact, I was going to do that one day. The reason for that is that I just know that I know that I know that God's word is true, and that people are being robbed in regard to health, in regard to seeing the power of God demonstrated. And so this morning, I want to share a little bit about some of that. And I do believe that there's a couple of little things that God has shown me in my own life over the years. And so what I'm sharing not only is in my head and in the Word, but it's worked for me as well. So as you know, one of the scriptures that drives me incredibly in all I do is John 10:10. You hear it often in what I preach. It says, "A thief comes only in order to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it to the full." Or the Amplified says, "Have it in abundance to the full till it overflows." And so when I see people being robbed, when I see people not enjoying life to the full till it overflows, that just gets my God juices running. And it makes me desire to see breakthrough, and that's why I'm such a compassionate, loving, caring, counseling person. You laugh. I am. I know I am. I say it every day. Graham, you are a loving, caring, compassionate person. So I hate seeing people being robbed. And without saying something that about myself that might sound proud, I identify with Isaiah and identify with Jesus when he said in Luke 4 this: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed," or appointed, as Carrie Blake would say, "me to preach the good news of the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to announce release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, those who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, broken, those who are held with calamity. And I think we should say that about all of us. If truly we are walking as Jesus walked, if truly we are living the Great Commission, then that should be what we should be able to state as well. And so, in regard to healing, in regard to miracles, there's nothing I desire more than to see people come into freedom, but more so to see people come to know Christ because of what they see in people's lives. Unfortunately, as I said, there's still many unanswered questions, and I know that I won't be able to give you all the answers, but this is what I do know. This is what I can prove. One, healing is in the atonement. Now, I have hundreds of scriptures now across all this today, but I'm only going to give you, just as Pastor Oxy would say, mountaintops, because it was just too long, and I knew with everything we were doing today it would take too long. Healing is one of the many areas that we can lay claim to because of the death of our Lord Jesus on Calvary. In Psalm 103 it says, "He forgives all my sins and he heals all my diseases." In Matthew 8, "He took our sicknesses, he removed our diseases." In Isaiah 53, "Surely he has borne our griefs, our sicknesses, our weaknesses, our distresses. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement, the peace and well-being for us was upon him. And with his stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole." So we know that healing is in the atonement. We also know that it's God's will that we would be healed. Now, I know immediately you say that, well, what about this person? What about that person? What about that person? I'm only telling you what I know the Bible says. I haven't got the answers to the many questions that I have still. Matthew 8, 1 and 3 in verse 16 says, "A man with leprosy approached him and knelt before him. 'Lord,' the man said, 'if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean.' It says that Jesus reached out and touched him, and he said, 'I am willing. Be healed.'" And I looked that word up, and it actually does say that. "I am willing. Be healed." Then it goes on and it says, "That evening many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. He cast out the evil spirits with a simple command, and he healed all the sick." Matthew 12:15, "He healed all the sick." Luke 6:19, "He healed them all." Luke 4:40, "He laid hands on every one of them, and he healed them all." Matthew 9:35, "Then Jesus preaching the gospel, healing every sickness and every disease among all the people." So we know that it is God's will that everybody would be healed. We know that we are empowered to pray for the sick. Mark 16 says, "And he said unto them, 'Go into all the world, preach the gospel, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils, because there's a lot of other things that we will do. They will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." So we have been given a mandate. We have been given authority. We have been given a commission to pray for the sick. We know that we are told to ask for prayer. James 5, "Any sick among you, call the elders of the church." Oh, by the way, you're to pray for the sick elders too, okay? "Are there any sick among you? You should call the elders of the church to come and pray for you." So we know that we are to ask for prayer as well. So it's not just left on our shoulders if we're feeling sick, that we've got to do something. So we can ask. We can pray for ourselves. We can ask. We can believe. We can do many other things. We know that in the times that we are living right now, we can expect to do greater works than Jesus did. John 14:12, and I say that because people often say, "Well, that's Jesus. That was back then." But it says, "I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me," that's me, "will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with my Father in heaven." We also know that there's going to be times of trial, that we're going to have to persevere, that we're going to have patience. James 1:2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testings of your faith produces patience." But then it goes on and it says, "But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, and lacking in nothing." What else do we know? We know that we've got to be honest with a situation. Yet, we need to acknowledge God's power. And the scripture I use so often in this, and we're not going to read it all because it takes too long, is the scripture back in Numbers where it talks about the 2 and the 10 spies, and they've just come out from spying out the land, and they stand before Moses, and they tell him all about the land. Yes, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's exactly as you told us was going to be, but there's big giants in the land. And then the 10 spies go on and say, look, we can't go in there, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But the 2 spies, Joshua and Caleb, they say, yes, let's go. With our God, we can do all things. We can defeat the enemy. We can see the victory that God has won for us. And I have so often heard in the blab it, grab it, prosperity message type thing that you don't admit to anything because that's a lack of faith. I don't believe that. Eddie Cree has cancer, but with his God, all things are possible. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong with saying the truth. But let's believe what God can do also, and let's say it as God sees it. And then we also know that faith is not enough, that we have to apply some effort. Listen to this scripture, James 2. It says, how foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. So as we look at the things we know, and we know that we have to do good works added to our faith, we should look at some of the works that we need to do in regard to this area of healing and miracles. I think the first thing that we need to do is that we need to put God first. Matthew 6:33, it says, but seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. One of the things that I have observed as I've watched what Jesus did throughout the Bible is that he always sought his Father's will. So I think the first thing for me in putting works to my faith is seeking first the kingdom of God, putting God first in all situations. The second thing I think we need to do, the second thing that I do, is I put the past behind. So often our lives are being imaged by what we remember or what has happened in times past. Paul says in Philippians 3, I focus on this one thing. I forget the past and I look forward to what lies ahead. And I've preached a number of times, in times past, about wiping the dust off our feet. And when you think about it, Paul and Silas, the disciples, if they allowed the experiences of the past to be what focuses their future, then they would be bogged down, they'd be pulled down, they would be discouraged, they would be feeling condemned and guilty, they would be feeling as though they could not do what God has called them to do. There have been many, many times that I have prayed for healings and prayed for miracles, and I have not seen the result that I have prayed for. I wipe the dust off my feet. I don't understand. If somebody does understand, I'd love to hear it. But I move on believing. The Bible tells me God is the vine and we are the branches. And the fruit has nothing to do with the branches but of the vine. I attach myself to God. I see the fruit as I'm praying and know that I'm just a conduit doing what God wants me to do. Whether it be for my own life or whether it be for others' lives. But the thing that I do is I never allow the past. Now, that doesn't mean it doesn't come into my mind. As soon as I start to pray for somebody, oh yes, what about so-and-so? How can you believe for that when you've not seen that there? Where's that coming from? Who's putting that thought there? Who's trying to stop me from having the faith to believe God's word? The next thing that I do and that I know we should do in regard to the works is keeping my mind on God. Isaiah 26:3, and there's lots of scriptures in these areas. It says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You know, so often doubt, unbelief, feelings, etc., rob us when we're praying for ourselves, when we're praying for others, when we're believing for something. Our job is to bring our mind back onto God. I will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. As soon as we lose peace, as soon as we start to feel those doubts and unbeliefs rising up above us, I could imagine how Eddie must be feeling right now. In fact, I know how he's feeling right now because I've talked to him many times during the last week. There must be days when he's high and low, days when he's feeling discouraged, days when his body is being racked with some feeling and the chemicals that they're pumping into him are starting to react, and all of a sudden he starts to become a little bit disquiet. The enemy trying to rob him, he brings his mind back on God. God, I can do all things with you who strengthens me. God, I'm trusting you in this situation. God, I need your help right now. God, Graham said that when I'm feeling low, just to sit on the rock and there'll be others holding my hands up. God, I just do that right now. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's bringing our thoughts into subjection. That's allowing God to bring forth peace back into our lives. Then the last thing, and it's not the last thing, but it's one of the last things in regard to works, is prayer. Philippians 4 says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request before God. You know, prayer is one of those interesting things to me. Why do we need to pray when God knows everything? Because he says we should. But there's been times in my life, times in Chris's life, where our prayers have been answered before we've even prayed them. They've just been a thought. And I think prayer is a thought, a heart feeling. Because how do we pray without ceasing if it's not our heart that's praying, that's bringing our requests, that's bringing our hopes, our desires before God? I think that one of the reasons we don't see the healings and miracles that we need to see is this area, the area of the spiritual. And prayer is a part of that, but prayer warfare, I think, is an even greater part of that. That didn't transition very well, but you'll get my point in a minute. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts. I thought that was my phone. Spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. You know, I've often looked at that scripture and immediately thought that that applies to other people. Oh, I wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So it's not David Odd I'm having a fight with anymore. It's the spirit behind David Odd. I'm only using David because I could just use him anyhow. But as I was meditating and as I've been thinking about this over the last month or two, why doesn't that flesh and blood apply to me? Why doesn't that flesh and blood be a part of me? Graham, you're not wrestling flesh and blood within you right now, but you're wrestling spiritual powers. You're wrestling principalities. You're wrestling rulers of darkness in high places that are attacking your body. Many of the scriptures that we read regarding Jesus and healing, we find that he mixed his praying for the sick with breaking demonic bondages. And I think that one of the things that we have neglected to do when we're praying for the sick, when we're praying for ourselves, is we've neglected to come against the works of spiritual darkness that bind us, that afflict us, that oppress us, that try and rob us. I.e., it's not the flesh and blood. It's the spiritual power within that the enemy is using to try and break us. Now, that goes into many areas, and I know I'll have some questions on that later. So spiritual warfare, I think, is one of those areas. Let me give you some scriptures, and I've got a lot for you because I think it's important. Luke 10:19, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. So often I have heard people say, every time I go into spiritual warfare, every time I start to lay claim to what is mine in God, all calamity happens, all things break loose. I've just stopped doing it because it's just not worth it. Nothing in any way shall harm you. If we would know our authority, if we would know who we are in Christ, if we would know that God has given us all power to trample on serpents and scorpions, if we just would know our place in God, the enemy would back off quick, smart. As I said in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, to kill and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. Matthew 16:19, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound on heaven, bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Another incredible scripture. And again, I wish I had time to open it up. I will later on. But there is a key that we're being given to bind and to loose. And I believe that we need to start loosing the healing power of God that God sees in the heavenlies, into earth, into us. Matthew 12, how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds a strong man and then he will plunder his house? I know, not only in my own life, but in praying with others, that when I bind the strong man and say he has no more authority and power in that person's life, that I have the ability through God to be able to plunder what he's been doing. Message says that scripture this way, and it's a beautiful bit. It says, how in the world do you think it impossible in broad daylight to enter the house of an awake, able-bodied man and walk off with his possessions unless you tie him up first? Tie him up, though, and you can clean him out. You know, I am saying today, and I hope you can hear it, that I believe that many, many times we are sick, many, many times we don't see the breakthroughs that we do because the enemy is stopping the healing power of God flowing into our bodies. And I'll show you that in a minute. The other thing that I think that we need to do in spiritual warfare is put on the armor of God and use the weapons that God has given us. And again, it's a sermon in its own right. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, our belt of truth, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. The weapons that we have, the word of God, prayer, praise, the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus. We could go on. You know them, yet we don't use them. We become complacent. We don't use and do the works that we should be doing to add to our faith. And I think we don't do it sometimes because we don't believe it. Deep down in our hearts, we know it in our heads, but we haven't seen it worked. How are you going to see it work unless you start to practice it? And then I think we need to enforce a scripture which I'm going to read to you in a minute, a scripture which is so real to me, and a scripture which I hope by unpacking quickly right now will become revelation, not just logos to your heads. Scripture in Romans 8:11, and if the same spirit of him who raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also restore life to your mortal body, short-lived, perishable body, through his Spirit who dwells in you. King James says, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal body, shall make alive your mortal body. I have the Spirit of God living in me. That scripture tells me that the Spirit of God that lives in me, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, shall quicken, shall make alive my mortal body. So I see I have an illness or a condition in my body. What do? I stand against the enemy. I take my rightful authority that I have against every work of darkness that would try and stop the Spirit of God that dwells in me, quickening my mortal body. And then I see the Spirit impacting the flesh. Flesh, you are subject to the Spirit. Be not led by the flesh, but be led by the Spirit. The Bible says that the flesh is weak, but the Spirit is willing. I need the Spirit. to quicken my mortal body. We need the Spirit to quicken our mortal body. That same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. You imagine the power. You imagine the incredible quickening, making alive process that took place when Jesus was raised from the dead. That same Spirit lives within us. We should have the faith for that. We should have the confidence in that. Because it's there. It's just an incredibly fantastic scripture. And it works. You know, I think there's a difference, by the way, between healing and miracles. And Chris, you said a great definition of a miracle this morning. Healings, I think, tend to take time. They happen as we bind the enemy, as we see that quickening process into our mortal bodies. You know, if I cut my skin right now with a knife or hurt it, a scab will form and the body will naturally heal itself. And I think that's often what happens when we pray for healings. We bind the enemy, we stop the blockage that he is using to hinder the natural healing process as the Spirit quickens or gives life to our mortal bodies. You know, healing in our natural sense is a miracle in its own right. Think about it. Something that you can't see repairs itself with something that you don't know anything about. An amazing thing. Whereas I think a miracle is a creative or a recreative occurrence where there can be no doubt that God has intervened in a situation. And in most cases, or many cases, it happens pretty well instantaneously, or it happens very, very quickly. Most of the things that have happened, in fact, all of the things that have happened in my life have been healings. They've happened over time as I have applied what I've said today and seen the release of the power of God in my life. And there have been times where I have been quickened to actually pray against the enemy in an area. And as I've prayed, I've known a release to the point that the pain or whatever it is starts to go and healing takes place. Finally, before I read a couple of testimonies to you, the last thing that we need to do in the area of works is the battle for the mind. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." And again, that I've often applied externally, but I think that's my flesh as much as anything else. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, bringing every thought into subjection to God." And again, that works with that peace scripture. Bringing our thoughts back into conformity to what the Word of God says. You know, the robber knows our legal rights. So the only way he can keep us from walking in victory is by making sure we focus not on our legal rights. If we use the Word of God and what the Bible says, then we are exercising what God says for us. And the enemy has to back down. He has to back down. Our job is to cast down imaginations. Our job is to cast down doubts, unbelief, and anything else that takes our focus. And to keep our faith and our trust and our confidence in what God's Word says. Can I read two testimonies to you? Really fantastic testimony. This first one is a healing. And Narelle has given me permission to read it for her. Thanks, Narelle. "In November last year, I broke my elbow playing netball. 2 days later, I had surgery to join the bones together with a plate and 5 screws. The surgeon said I had broken it really badly and he contemplated replacing the radial head instead of trying to allow the elbow to heal itself. 2 weeks later, I had the plaster removed and began the road to gain meaningful movement back into my arm. 12 weeks after surgery, I still had a lot of pain in my wrist and my elbow. I was able to straighten my elbow almost to 180 degrees and bend it almost to touch my shoulder, but I couldn't rotate my wrist to get the flat palm. Instead, my palm was only able to rotate about 50%. The surgeon decided to remove the plate and hope that it would allow me more movement in my wrist and also decrease the pain that was there. I went to hospital on the day of the second scheduled surgery. When I was there, they decided to give me one more x-ray, a CAT scan to check the bone before they operated. In the CAT scan, it showed that my bone actually hadn't healed. So they sent me away to wait for 6 weeks more, hoping that the bone would heal in that time. You can imagine that I was pretty upset by this, and also being in pain, not being able to fully look after my family as I wanted, was making me very unhappy, I know. It was at this time that sunrise was coming up, and I started to feel challenged to pray and believe for a healing. I was also challenged to fast. I didn't do a traditional fast from food, but fasted from media, computer, television, books, radio, etc. I allowed myself to read my Bible, it's exactly as she talks, and to listen to praise and worship. Throughout sunrise, I really pressed into God, and each session felt myself drawn closer to Him. At the end of sunrise, my elbow was still painful, my movement was still restricted, but I still believed that God was in control. Matt and I then decided to get a second opinion and visited an elbow specialist. He agreed to operate on my elbow and presented us with three different scenarios. The first and the best case was that when he opened up my arm, the bone had somehow healed. He had removed the plate and that was the end. He didn't expect that to be the case. The second scenario was the bone was still in the process of healing, so he had replated it and clean it out, and then the third, and he believed the most likely scenario was that the bone would be beyond healing and he would replace the elbow with an artificial one. He scheduled surgery for 4 weeks' time. However, in that time, I fell pregnant. Have you told everybody yet? Oh, good. So he decided to wait due to the risk of anesthetic during pregnancy. He said that if I still felt I needed it when I hit my second trimester, he would operate. As I entered my second trimester, I scheduled surgery believing that this was the will of God. Sorry, this was all in God's timing, that He would look after the baby and me. The day of surgery arrived, I was extremely nervous. I'd been memorizing Psalm 91 and drew on that scripture throughout the preparation for surgery and all the interviews with the anesthetists, surgeons, nurses, etc. When I awoke from surgery, my first thought was the baby, and the nurse was able to assure me that things were looking good in that regard. I wasn't able to speak to the surgeon during recovery as he was operating on other patients. I was taken back to my room and greeted by a smiling Matt. He asked if I'd heard the news. As I hadn't, he proceeded to tell me of his conversation with the surgeon. When they opened up my elbow, they found the bone was fully healed, so much so that they couldn't even see a fracture line where the bone had been knit back together. They removed the plate, found that the pain I was feeling, that was the pain I was feeling and the reason I had lack of movement. They removed and cleaned up a lot of scar tissue, checked for any other abnormalities. I could have told them a few. And finding none, stitched me back. The surgeon expecting me to gain full movement back and straightening, bending my elbows up to 80%, he said, two amazing miracles in regard to my elbow. The first being that the bone had knit together so well that it wasn't even a fracture line. The second being that even the plate and the screws not holding my bone together, that even when the plate and the screws were not holding my bones together, this had happened, and that the scar tissue hadn't interfered. The other amazing thing that happened with my surgery and recovery was that following the surgery, I had come off a nerve block in my arm. Patients are given morphine dispense that allows you to manage the pain by taking small doses of morphine. Morphine isn't necessarily the safest drug to take when you're pregnant, so I was worried about taking it. However, as I came out of the block, I was able to manage the pain without morphine, just by Panadeine. I'm only 3 days post-surgery, have almost full movement back in my elbow in regards to straightening and bending, and I can almost rotate my palm 90 degrees, which is more than the surgeon expected. I haven't had any more pain relief since the day after surgery. I fully believe that my healing was orchestrated by God over a period of time to give Him glory. What a great testimony. Let me read the last one and the second one. And again, it's important in light of what I'm sharing today. And I know that you will give me just a few more minutes. This is a testimony from Neil Murray. Neil, just raise your hand. Okay. And this is what I would call a miracle. On the morning of the 10th of June 2010, I awoke. And as I usually do, I spoke to my wife before rising out of bed. Good man, well done. The time rolled on where some commitment to getting out of bed was needed. I got out of bed as normal, went to turn on the light and realised I'd lost the movement in my left hand. I considered this rather odd, but thought nothing of it. When I went to put on my shirt, it hit me that I was unable to do up any buttons. I turned to speak to my wife and was only able to get out slurred words. Realizing something was amiss, Marie took me to hospital where it was diagnosed that I had a stroke. So I was admitted to hospital where I remained for the rest of the day. It was considered by the doctors it would be okay at that point to discharge me as it seemed to have settled down, and as it was now the Queen's birthday weekend, all the specialists were away. I went home with my hand hanging useless by my side, but otherwise all right. Come Sunday afternoon, all was progressing well, when all of a sudden the left side of my face, my left hand, went very numb. So once again I was admitted to hospital to await further tests and to see the neurologist when he returned from his long weekend. By this time the numbness was just coming on and off at random times during the day and leave me rather exhausted. At 3 o'clock on the Monday afternoon it returned, only rather worse. It felt that this time the whole left side of my face was falling off. I told the nurse what was taking place, but she could not help me, and it seemed that I was just slipping further and further into an abyss. This continued on and off all afternoon, all the time growing more and more anxious. Visiting home came with no improvement, visiting hour over, family left, but the symptoms did not. Face and hands had the same deadness as before, no improvement. I tried to sleep, but the continuous deadness stayed with me in a state of semi-sleep. My feet were now in such a state that I wished I could remove them for a while, as always in this type of twilight, the world never seemed to end. I looked at the clock on the wall, it was 10 p.m. The night seemed endless. When all of a sudden it happened, it seemed like a switch was turned on in my body. My life came back, and immediately I started to improve. I'm not sure what my thoughts were at the time, but I do know that something was taking place in my body, and at no time did I consider it to be a supernatural miracle. After many tests over the next weeks, I was released with the prognosis that they could find nothing wrong with me. On Saturday afternoon, on the 26th, I was sitting reading my Bible when I was overcome with the presence of the Lord. Suddenly, I was back on that hospital bed, once again reliving the experience of the previous Monday. It was not until then that I realized that I had taken place in a miracle and I'd never known it. At that moment, I felt so ungrateful. God had healed me, and I hadn't even realized it. Let's stand together. This morning, the purpose in what I've done is to try and encourage us to start to press in for healings and miracles, to start to realize that, or again confirm God's word in regard to healing and miracles, to realize that we have areas of work that we need to do, and more so to start to release the spirit that lives within our body, who is there to quicken our mortal bodies, to stand against the enemy who is there to steal, to kill and destroy, and to start to see the power of God move. Today, I want to pray for people who might feel sick, who might know they have a need in your life. I don't want you to come out. I just want you to raise your hands if you know you have a need today. Close your eyes, everybody. Just raise your hands if you have a need in your body. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for those testimonies. I thank you for the testimony of Narelle. I thank you for the testimony of Neil. I thank you for the many testimonies that we could all share, Lord God, in regard to your healing power. This morning, Lord God, I want to stand against the works of darkness that is out to steal, to kill and destroy. That enemy that tries to impact our flesh. Lord God, your word says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of wickedness in high places. Enemy, this day I tell you, we now know our legal rights. We know that healing is a part of the atonement. We know that God desires that all would be well. We know that we have authority over you, and so we take control of you right now and say that you will not stop. You will not stop the healing power of God via the spirit that was in our bodies right now from impacting our flesh. Spirit, we release you now to do your work, whether it be through natural healing, whether it be through miracles, but we release you in every person's life right now. And Father, we just give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I don't think we will have